Please turn to Philippians chapter 4. I want to share something with you, and now I'll just give you a heads up. We're headed in the direction of the offering. But I want to share something with you. I'm going to read something to you. This is a direct quote, but I am not going to stand here and tell you who this preacher was, give you this person's name, because I respect this preacher. But in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." Now here is the quote. Christians constantly claim this verse over their lives, but many do not understand the context in which Paul wrote this verse and exactly what it meant for both his Philippian audience and what it means for themselves. As you'll see, this verse applies to givers. In fact, the historical context reveals that the promise contained in Philippians 4:19 can only be claimed by people who are givers. But for those who are givers, this is God's absolute guarantee of abundant financial blessing. Okay, now, let's think about this. This person said that Christians claim this verse over their lives, but many do not understand the context in which the verse was written. So, let's look at the context. And let's back up to verse 10. "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now, at the last, your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed, or I have experienced, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound, I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you," meaning their offerings, "an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." All right, so now what we've just done is we've taken that verse 19 and essentially put it back in the setting of the context wherein it was originally written. Now, this being true, we can look at this context and look at this verse 19 and consider what this preacher has said. He said that the promise contained in Philippians 4:19 can only be claimed by people who are givers, and that for those who are givers, this is God's absolute guarantee of abundant financial blessing. Now, if this is true, the fact that it's written in the Bible means that it is a truth or a standard or a policy that is true for all Christians, not just the Philippians. Now, if indeed it is true for all Christians, not just the Philippians, then it has to be true for the person who wrote this. In fact, the person who wrote this has to have clearly understood this principle, or else he couldn't have written it, and that was the Apostle Paul. Now, knowing that to be true, if indeed that those who are givers are the ones who tap into the promise recorded in Philippians 4:19, and that it is God's absolute guarantee of abundant financial blessing, then doesn't it stand to reason, if I put this truth into practice. It will not only be the, as he said, absolute guarantee of abundant financial blessing, but if I make myself a regular giver, if that is a part of my lifestyle as a Christian, if I am a regular giver, then would I not activate Philippians 4:19, be guaranteed of abundant financial blessings, and in the process, my giving would be a preventative measure to prohibit lack. You follow me?
Amen.
All right, now, if that is true, and it has to be true, I mean, if this policy, this principle is true, as this preacher explained it, then it has to be true for everybody, including the person who wrote it. Now, that being so, why in the world would the Apostle Paul write in verse 12? I know both how to be abased, meaning brought low and having nothing, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed. That word instructed, again, it means I have experienced, I know what it's like, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Now, where he talks about being full and hungry, he's not talking about his fasting. He's talking about when he didn't have anything to eat. Okay, if my giving is the way that I access Philippians 4:19, and I'm guaranteed the abundant financial blessings from God, and doing so would be a preventative measure against lack, then why in the world didn't Paul give to prevent the abasing? Why didn't he give to prevent being hungry? Why didn't he give to prevent suffering need? Why did he not instead write, "For I myself have given and discovered that in doing so, my God has supplied all my need according to his riches in Christ Jesus, and I have defeated any form of lack, hunger, or need in my life"? Why didn't he write something like that? Why would he, now again, if this principle the preacher has written about is true, then didn't Paul contradict himself? Absolutely. But now look at this, in verse 19. He said, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." There is another verse in the New Testament that presents to us essentially the same principle, but it's worded differently. And it's in Romans chapter 8, verse 32. "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" See this? I mean no disrespect to this other preacher, but the key to Philippians 4:19 is not my giving. Amen. The key is the completed work of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
That is the key. Because there are too many Christians in their lives who have continually claimed, if you will, Philippians 4:19, and they've given, 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 but they are still battling financial struggle. So somebody's wrong. And it's not Paul. And it's not God. Now again, I mean no disrespect to this preacher, because I highly respect this person. But in the context of how this is written, you have to leave it not simply in the context of a certain, you know, 5, 6, 8, 10, 12 verses. You have to leave it in the context of what the Bible reveals as the completed work of Jesus Christ. And therefore, I know that whether I have anything to give or not, my God shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That is my guarantee. And there is no, by the way, there's no guarantee of abundant financial blessings the way we interpret it today. He supplies my need. And the Apostle Paul said, "I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content." If we have learned to be content, no matter what our condition, then we're not going to try to figure out how much more can we give to get out of this mess. Being content doesn't mean I like what's going on. I like being hungry. I like suffering lack. No, that's not content. Contentment is in the relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm content because I know I can trust Him. Some way, somehow, it's going to work out. Some way, somehow. So, you know, Mr. Preacher, I mean, if you hear this, please, I'm not trying to be mean to you, but I can't agree with what you wrote here. My giving does not cause me to be blessed. It's what God has done for me through Jesus Christ. Glory to God.